So, dear audience, my paper will relate to both sides of conference topic. It will be about new music, and it also will be about new approaches to writing or to studying music history. I have modified the title a little by adding the concept of united musics. I will explain it in a few minutes. What does it mean? So I will talk very shortly about reception of music as such, and then more thoroughly about the idea of united musics, which could be involved in the reception studies. So what is reception? In general terms, reception of music is considered as an aesthetic response to some kind of musical event. And any response, of course, might manifest in different forms, in written ones or verbal ones, and more often reception of some musical event remains known just for the receiver, just for the listener, and it is not discussed in public. And musical compositions could be also seen as part of a responding process reflecting composers' musical knowledge and preferences of the time. Anyway, if one tries to study reception of music or reception history, which could be done from the number of different perspectives, also always at least two questions arise: whose reception and reception of what? Today, I would like to discuss some aspects of the reception of new music in Estonia in the 1970s and 1980s. And as a receiver, whose reception, I consider Estonian composers born around 1950 or later. And about the what question, I'm interested in communication between different musical communities and genres. So several sources from that period, including published media, reflect the unity of or interrelations between different genres of music or different musics in Estonia. By different musics, I consider art music, popular music, mostly pop and rock, jazz, and folk music or traditional music. Therefore, there are several reasons to launch the idea of united musics for narrating what happened in our musical life in those decades and how it was received or responded by musicians and composers. A few prominent recent Western music histories have already included the story of different musics into one and the same volume, or brought it into the curriculum. Introduction to the volume 20th Century Music in the Cambridge Music History Series in 2004 says, I quote, "While the focus is on Western traditions, both art and popular music, these are situated within the emerging context of world music." End of quote. In fact, there are several fascinating chapters or sub-chapters on jazz music and light music in this volume, but the methodological standpoints and relations between different musics remain quite apart from each other. It would be important to understand that the reasons which brought these different musics more together or affected the development of each other in Estonia were only partly in common with those of Western. I would like to give three standpoints for the idea of united musics in Estonia in the 70s and 80s. Extra musical factors, musical factors, and human factors. Could be also, human factors like overlapping of institutions and multi-talented personalities. It is common to relate the fusion of different styles and musical genres with the concept of postmodernism, in the use of polystylism as part of that. In Western countries, these kind of changes were mainly in the focus of art music, fighting against the musical modernism with the tools characteristic to music form of earlier or previous periods. But in Soviet Estonia, similar tendencies had appeared in art music already in the late 60s, particularly in the compositions by Arvo Pärt, the more prominent idea that motivated the changes in Estonian art music and also encouraged the communication between different musics and musicians in the 70s and 80s was largely extra-musical. In the Western countries, counter-cultural movement mainly manifested through the different chants of popular music. In Soviet Estonia, this counter-cultural aspect touched broader musical scene, encompassing both art and popular music, folk and jazz musicians. Also, since the beginning of the 70s, the early music movement had rapidly developed in Estonia, and in addition to its musical purposes, it was closely related to the Christianity, which was a taboo in public discussion that period. On the one hand, approaches significant to early music performance practice departed itself from the academic world, but at the same time it got closer to other musical communities. Interests toward non-Western musical cultures include Estonian old folk song, as well as other Finno-Ugric heritage, and both studied by authentic folk groups and also by Estonian composers, especially by Veiko Tormis. According to Soviet regime, this music and activity could be dangerous because of two Estonian identity. Similarly to the Western countries, rock music mainly associated with the youth culture and included the protest against the indefinite middle-class establishment. In Estonia, it was simultaneously related to the national ideas, manifested in Estonian lyrics based on great poetry, which was, I might say, rather rare in Western countries. These different musics had similar standpoints that made them equally oppositional to the official cultural policy. Thirst for the public expression of national and religious ideas. Also, it was a protest against the rigid but equivocal cultural policy and ideological censor addressed to indefinite middle-class taste. So the need for the acceptance of differences in culture was also another aspect that helped to gather these different groups more together. Due to the restrictions on traveling and limited media exchange, musicians and composers eager for new ideas and developments were more empowered to look inside the local output. What proceeded from it was a vivid communication between musicians and composers of different background. It means immediate communication between art music, art musicians and rock musicians, for example. It formed the specific atmosphere as well as musical results in the 1970s and 80s. On the contrary to Western experience, Estonian composers cooperated with early music enthusiasts, which in the result affected their oeuvre. The competition between contemporary music and early music movement attributed to Western situation was not the case in the Soviet countries. And as an example of that, we could also refer to the series of festivals held in Tallinn during the 70s and 80s, the Festival of Early and Contemporary Music. It's the name of the festival. An example of overlapping of different genres in Estonian music, I'd like to refer to the concert review written by a then young Estonian composer Leppo Sumera in 1981. It was a concert by the chamber choir Ellerheim, conducted by Tõnu Kaljuste, and the program consisted, as you can see, mainly of 20th century composers' music in Estonian and early music. Analyzing Reino Rannap's composition, Sumera draws a parallel with an English musician and composer Mike Oldfield, known at that time for his new progressive rock, electronics, and world music oeuvre. Without knowing the term itself, Leppo Sumera describes Rannap's music almost as minimalistic. I quote, It is the magic of coloring, repeating, that builds up the static blocks of music. Instead of conflict and development, music flows through fields of more and less dense texture, through the repetition of melodic figures, innerly moving on. And later on, this kind of developmental process with many repetitions is natural and significant in Estonian music. It also associates with our ancient musical language, runic songs. Sumara has even claimed that diatonic scales and repetitions in his own compositions came from runic song and had nothing to do with international minimalism. Another Sumara's comment, which is important for our discussion, concerns Thomas Seaton's choral piece Gaudete and relations between art music and early music in it. Sumara writes that it is a nice stylization of medieval music, where additionally to vocal parts, some instruments, string quartets and two flutes, were also used, and I can quote, "It would have been more stylish if some medieval instruments were used in that composition instead of classical ones, an ensemble of recorders, for example. Combining new music and early instruments was popular at that time in Estonia." So maybe you know that first Tindi Naabuli pieces by Arvo Pärt were composed to early music ensemble Hortus Musicus, for example. And Sumara's own first composition for early music ensemble Hortus Musicus, entitled Pantomime, was composed in the autumn of 1981. And in that composition, alongside of Western early music instruments, the traditional Mexican instrument ocarina was used. Sumara had brought it with him from his trip to Mexico a year before. Fascination about non-Western cultures grew rapidly in Estonia in the 1980s and found several uses in the music by Kuldar Singh and Sven Grünberg, for example. And I'd like to point out that the composition Pantomime was exceptional in Sumara's own oeuvre, but it tells us something more general about that time or that period in Estonian music. During the 70s and 80s, in addition to overlapping of different musics, several musicians and composers were by themselves simultaneously active in different fields of music. After the graduation of Tallinn Conservatoire with a composer's diploma, a young composer was expected to join with the composer's union, which gave him or her more guarantees in public respect and income. The list of union's members from that period include several personalities who had composer's diploma, but whose musical activity encompassed or still encompasses different fields of music. Now two close examples. Rein Rannap has been one of the most outstanding musical figures in Estonian music since the 70s up to today, highly acclaimed both by art music and especially popular music audiences. He graduated from the conservatoire in 77 as a pianist and had got already during his studies some international acclaim for his activity in classical oeuvre. Also, Rannap was the first one who presented improvisation as a concert genre in Estonia, and he even released two albums with his improvisations on piano. In these pieces, he mixed the styles of classical, pop, and jazz music. Simultaneously, Rannap was a songwriter and keyboard player in the rock band Roja, formed by Rannap already in 71. And Roja has been considered the most famous rock band in Estonia of all times. And reasons for that, for its being famous, include musical aspects, a lot of diversity, elements of pop rock and progressive rock, as well as the use of lyrics, which were based on Estonian professional poetry, and often had a national statement. And here is a musical example of one very famous song from Ruya's repertoire entitled Yesterday I Saw Estonia. Eile nägin ma Eestimaad, composed in 81. The song starts with a hit of Estonian classical music over Homeland Melody, which is also referred to later on in the song. So I will give you the beginning of the song and then like wait until this theme recurs again. And the lyrics, kind of patriotic, are written by the contemporary poet Voit Arder, but are based on the text by Johan Liiv from the beginning of the 20th century. Step more to the popular music field as a pianist and also as a composer. He has written like more than 2,000 popular songs sung by different musicians. Okay, another example. Another important, very important figure in Estonian music who crossed the borders in his musical activity and output was Erki Sventhyr. Today he is internationally the most outstanding composer from his generation, and mainly due to his orchestral music. Compared to the previous musician Rannap, who came from a musician's family and had a background of classical music, Tyr was a rock musician at first. Even in his last year at conservatoire as a student in composition in 1983, when Tyr was asked about his musical models, the answer included at first only pop music artists like Jethro Tull, King Crimson, Genesis, and Mike Oldfield, of course. After that, he said, "From our centuries, non-rock music, I love very much Messiaen, Preten, Stravinsky. For me, the last sensation in Estonian music was the symphony by Leppo Sumar." Okay. So, Tyr was the leader of progressive rock ensemble in Spe from 76 till 83. And in that band, he used some acoustical instruments like violin, cello, and recorders, alongside with traditional electric rock music instruments. Broader background for using old instruments in his compositions for In Spe, as well as later for the early music ensemble Hortus Musicus, was the general spiritual atmosphere in Estonia at that time. And Tyr has reminded in 2009, I quote, into that great bleak Soviet world, another world was created, the world which was meant and much bigger than the one into which it was intended to hide. There were a variety of sources that had an impact to his oeuvre. Tyr became fascinated by Partisidinabri music, the activity of Hortus Musicus, attended with the enthusiasm of the non-public lectures on religion and early cultures by a theologist and Reverend Einar Leibner, also by historian and future politician Tunne Gelan. He also got acquainted with the young musicologist Thomas Seaton, who was interested in early music. Together with some friends, Tur sang early Christian monody, sometimes even at the Catholic Church. So these impulses didn't affect only the instrumentation of Tur's music, but also the musical style, bringing in diatonic scales, melodic figures, and rhythm patterns typical to early music. As a musical evidence for all that, I would like to give a short musical example from Tur's oratorio entitled Ante Finem Seculi, for soloists, mixed choir, and symphony orchestra, and composed in 1885. There are two kinds of texts in it, a Latin one and then an Estonian one by Estonian poetess V. Luik. And so, example. Tur was also fascinated by minimalism and sonorism in music and controlled aleatorics, and all these interests are also reflected in this oratorio, so you should listen to it. As we may conclude, these qualities were also appreciated by official instances, because in 1986 Tur's oratorio Ante Finem Seculi was awarded as the musical composition of the year of Estonian Soviet Republic. So to conclude, instead of competing character or oppositions between different musics or musicians in Estonia during the 1970s and 80s, these traditions had much in common: national and religious ideas, shared interests in musical alternatives, for example, early music side by side with progressive rock, as well as personalities. And it seems to me that the story of united musics might be useful or important for overall understanding of reception of music in the 1970s and 80s in Estonia. Thank you for your attention.
Thank you, Anne, for a very nice presentation. I guess there are questions or comments. Please.
Because why I'm asking, because in your slide there was religious ideas, also
thank you for this comment. This religious community was more connected to my idea with Tur's activity, singing the early Christianity in Catholic Church. And so it was, it was not. Thank you for this comment.
Yes, Martin?
thank you very much. What was the purpose of the division between extra musical factors and musical factors, and is communication musical or extra-musical, and reception itself, it is a musical phenomenon or it is extra-musical?
It might be a bit artificial to make this difference, but Bill, in my presentation, by these extra-musical things, I really thought about these national elements which are connected to different musics in Estonia, like national statements in rock music, and also in classical music. So these were like extra-musical examples for me. But of course, they are all like part of this reception field.
In my opinion, you don't need it. This,
to make this separation, okay.
It is musical context, but it belongs to music. But what is musical? It is only musical. To music belongs, but only aspects. Which are in the score, perhaps, or in the music, in the sound.
Yes. Okay.
There's a, funny enough, there is a kind of discussion by Lydia Gehr, not in her Imaginary Museum book, but in a later book, about the term extra musical, in which she kind of concludes, rightly or wrongly, that it's a very misused term and indeed doesn't actually have very much meaning at all. And she goes back, I think it may have been actually Hensley who first used this term, I'm not absolutely sure, but she dismisses the term for what it's worth.
Okay.
I can't quite remember the argument.
Thank you. Yeah, please.
I have one very short remark. I'm very happy that you renamed, you said the term reception, because during these presentations so many people have talked about reception but not calling it with names. Thank you very much.
Some of them have named it.
Okay, I think we make a point here. Thank you so much.